Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Welcome back, Posh fans. Peterborough United have drawn 1-1 at home with Wycombe Wanderers. We were leading for most of the game, and then a dying embers equaliser from good old Coney, the top scorer in League One, meant that we had to settle for a point. We're going to dissect it with you. Let's go for it. Tonight I've got Ashley, I've got Dell, Max, Charlie, obviously me, Harry. Dell, I'm going to come to you first. What did you make of that one?
Well, overall, I actually quite enjoyed the game again because, you know, I think it's fair to say week on week at the moment, we're actually improving our performances. We're not anywhere near where we need to be or where we were last season, but what is encouraging, we seem to have a bit of confidence and we're starting to move forward. So overall, I don't think anybody had a bad game, a really bad game, I should say. You know, I've seen all over. Well, there's not anybody had a really bad game apart from your one, Ash. But no, overall, it was enjoyable. You know, I actually thought we was in control of the game most of it. First half, definitely. Second half, yeah, they sort of pressed us a bit harder. But we actually done ourselves okay. Do you know what I mean? And you know, to lose the win, if that makes sense, in the last minute was, I think, disappointing because overall, probably a draw would have been a fair result, but it's just the way it happened, you know, against second in the league. And we're disappointed that we're only getting a draw now. Now, this is how far we've come in the last few weeks. I think I also read somewhere, is it six unbeaten now or something silly like that? Five or six unbeaten? Fuck me. None of us would have dreamed that a few weeks back, would we? Six unbeaten and a little trip to Wembley to go and see Harry's favourite other team. Yeah, now the game, I enjoyed it. Some really good performances. We'll go on to speak about players in a minute, but I just want to sort of single out a little bit. I went for Malik as man of the match, and there's been a lot of criticism all over social media. Like, are you sure you're watching the same game as us? Well, yeah, we are. We all had a different opinions, but whilst it wasn't sort of clinical in front of goal, what I was impressed about is his work ethic was fucking excellent. He was chasing down, back, forward, left, right, all over the place. Yeah, he sort of, you could argue, was at fault for the equaliser, but overall, I actually thought his performance was very, very good. But yeah, enjoyed the game. Looking forward to next week. Hopefully we can take yesterday's performance, Saturday's, if you're listening on a Monday, performance, into an early kickoff against the Scum. So, yeah, happy with the performance. Done very well. Great save by Steer as well, to be fair, that sort of kept us in it. So nothing more to add, really, apart from enjoyable game. Solid performance.
Yeah, do you know what? We put polls in, don't we, when we're going to record. And I must say that I'm so glad that we didn't record after the game yesterday because it was so deflating. And like you say, is that we've come so far in sort of, 3 weeks? And it's just so disappointing that they couldn't get this over the line yesterday. It felt like we definitely probably should have scored more goals. I don't think that Wycombe were all that. And if that's the second best team in League One, then, you know, it's looking up for the rest of the season. Before the game, I was more than happy for us to have lost that game. Expected it. But to get to the 92nd minute and then ultimately give away such a sloppy free kick is just really, really disappointing. Because look, the lads left themselves out on their all out on the field. There were some proper knackered bodies who look like they're going to enjoy a week off now before the Cambridge game. And yeah, like Del says, it felt like they just needed that a little bit more. But you know, there's always next week, isn't there?
I think Dale highlighted it really well at the start, where he said to lose like that, and I think that's the mentality that we're having now. Although it was just a mistake, it's the fact that feels like a loss, and that's the big thing for me. Is that earlier in the season, you know, we would be absolutely buzzing with a 1-1 draw against Wickham if this was 2 months ago. The fact that we're sat here and like we are disappointed at the fact that we've dropped 2 points at the death. I think we'd be over the moon with this result 2 months ago. And I think that's just how far we've come, which is a really, really good thing, I think, that the fans have stuff to be happy about again. Because we went on that torrid run, didn't we, at the start of December, all the way really up until last month, where it was just such a horrible time to watch us play football and we looked awful. And this squad's finally clicking again. And that's the big thing, is that we're clicking as a unit. The only thing that I'm really disappointed with, and I'm sure we'll get onto it momentarily, is our attack again. And it's been a common denominator. We made so many chances against Wickham. We could have put two away easily after Kone had scored. So the 3 points were there to be taken. All we need is for this attack to click. And I have a funny feeling it may do on Saturday. But we'll have to see.
Yeah, I agree with the sentiment, Max. I'd be interested to know if there are any Wickham fans listening to this pod. Is that the standard that your team has played at this season? Because that was pretty dross from them. And I can't work out whether we made Wickham look bad or whether they just didn't show up on the day, or maybe that level of performance has been getting them results all season because they've got a real fox in Kone, who is, you know, he also had his chance where he hit the post in the middle of the second half as well, that on another day could easily have gone in. And sometimes they just need a couple of chances. And on this occasion, they only needed two, and they got a point out of it. Whereas we had what, three clear one-on-ones. Obviously, the Ricky at the very end, that Brad really want to see him get it out of his feet a bit better. Also, not be afraid to have at least a crack on his right foot, because he was so much more angled taking it on his right. He tried to cut it back inside. And after Norris's error, the Oddo, what was it, passed to Motherseal, then passed to Poku. I think Oddo or Motherseal should have just taken the shot. The net was empty. I know it was quite far out for both of them, but rustiness there, I'd say, and having not scored against Blackpool, a penalty yesterday or whenever you're listening, you know, on Saturday, it's a shame that we're talking about what was otherwise a really good performance and we're having to focus on the lack of clinicality. If we can make that click, then we're talking about a completely different level here. I think there's another day where we score 4 goals in that game against Wickham, which, as we've said, against this team that's second in the league, shows that we're coming along. But man, I know Dell's happy with the performance, but I was the same as Ash. I walked away from that game so deflated, so deflated. I'd have rather it had been 2-2 than 1-1, because at least that would have meant we put away a golden opportunity, at least at one point.
Yeah, I mean, I only have really one person to blame for the fact that we... Well, two. One person to blame, especially for the fact that we didn't win that game, and that was the referee. I think it was one of the most egocentric, ridiculous pieces of officiating I've ever seen in the last minutes of that game. I think it was a clear foul on Wallin. First of all, it's, you know, when you bundle a defender over like that, you know, if it's in the first or second minute of the game or the 60th minute of the game, he's giving that no questions asked. It's an easy foul to give. He's not given it just for the sake of being edgy and different and because Wickham players are on his back, I think, and he's succumbed to that pressure. He then, Wallin stays down. You shouldn't restart the game when you know, they've got a player down, especially when it's a centre-half and he's massively out of position. Wallin stayed down for quite a lot of that period of play as well. And I just think the refereeing performance just in general yesterday was really poor, but especially in the last minutes, I think he lost total control. And then the other person that I guess I'll blame slightly, which I'm sure we'll talk a lot about because there's been a lot of talk about him over the last sort of 24 hours, is Ricky J. Jones. I gave him a 3 in the player ratings. It could have been lower. What an absolute joke. If you're a striker, you should be putting that chance away every single time. You're pretty much on the goal line. Just stick it in the back of the net. Even just let it bounce off you and go into the goal. Really easy. Ricky, what an absolute disgrace.
Yeah, I do agree with you, Chaz. I have, John has as well, went on some serious defensive action of Ricky last season. But that is now the second time this season that he has let his team down, let the supporters down, and let the football club down. It happened once at Northampton away, where the game was ready to be turned, and we would have pretty sure we'd have taken the lead if he scored that. And then again yesterday, you know, like I think I probably could have finished that one. Whether I would have been in the position or not is a very different question. But it's a simple task. The ball's past the goalkeeper. I even saw somebody suggest that potentially if he'd have left it, it may have snuck its way in at the back post. I just don't understand how you can cock that up so badly. And it's just such a disappointing performance that, like, the lad's out of contract at the end of the summer, but I really don't know who's going to sort of take a punt on him. So can we get a contract on the table and offer him something? Because I'm not sure that he is better than League One. There was a period in the first half of the season where he was lighting up League One, I would say, in a sense. And he looked like he was ready for a move in January, but nothing happened. And it's actually disappointing and frustrating that you can put so much energy into defending somebody's ability, ultimately for it to be thrown back in your face now twice this season. Charlie mentioned the ref as well. Look, I personally thought that Wallin was far too weak in the whole of the game yesterday, and that was sort of summed up by the fact that we conceded that foul. Didn't concede a foul, and he gave away the free kick through holding onto the ball, I assume. I would have liked to have seen Manny come on at the same time that Poku and Sissoko did. I did put a tweet out to that sense, just to sort of add that strength. Like, Manny probably would have loved that game yesterday against Kone. I know that obviously got sent off at Wickham, so that kind of seems slightly hypocritical. But they weren't great, Wickham. And unfortunately, they've absolutely stolen a point from London Road at the end of the day.
I'm just going to go back to Ricky J. Jones because although my rating does not echo what I'm about to say, look, I do really feel for him and I love the bloke. I think over the last two seasons, he's been an excellent servant. I really do. And I really do want to see his career flourish. And I can't help but find myself agreeing with Ashley and Charlie in the sense that now this is the second time this season where, you know, you've got to score those chances. But we've got to look back to when, you know, Darren Ferguson sort of changed the system to a 4-2-4. And I don't think Ricky has really been able to get a sniff for the past three games at starting. Bradley and Malik have been his two options up front, mainly because Malik's playing in this new role, which I really love him playing, by the way, this sort of deep ball. A deep sort of like roaming midfielder almost that can push up and then play in striker where he needs to be. But you have to feel for Ricky's confidence. And that's a big thing, is that I don't actually think we're playing to Ricky's strengths anymore. And when he gets into those positions, you know, you'd expect an element of it of him to just put them away. But he hasn't been able to do that like in the first half of the season, because I think his confidence is a bit shot. And that's the same with all of our attacking outlets. You know, you look across our attack, I don't think any of them are in fine form, and I don't think any of them, I think they all would have made a meal of that chance at the end. I don't see anybody being in that position and not making a bit of a meal out of it. Whether they score it or not, if it's a different player, I don't know, but I definitely think there's an element of a confidence problem, and that's been, I think that's been made clear over the fact that we're getting results, but we're not scoring a lot of goals. Blackpool, it sums it up excellently. The second half, that game was there to be taken. Odo has to hit the target. He sends it sky high over the bar. It's the same again here. Ricky's got to score that chance. He doesn't. I don't necessarily think it's the player. I just really do think that it is a confidence problem. And for me, eventually, especially now we've got Poku back, hopefully we're going to be able to have some attacking rhythm, and that will really benefit, obviously, Ricky.
I just want to bring up a couple of bits that we was that Ari said earlier. I'm not saying that I was happy with the point or despondent. I was saying that our performances have got a lot better. Yeah, at the end of it, when we can see the last minute fucking equaliser, yeah, I was fucking gutted, to be fair, because I thought we was going to win the game. We probably didn't deserve to win it, but you know, I'm not saying I wasn't sort of despondent like yourself and Ash was, but overall, you know, it was a good performance. Disappointing result at the end, but a good performance. Some of the other players I think we need to stand out is Donnelly. I actually think he's been, the last few weeks, he has been consistent all the way through without being outstanding. Sorry, come back to that. But I think he's been consistent the whole way through the last few weeks. And it's what you want to see. He's not been sort of the player bombing forward, but he has been doing what he's been asked to do and shoring the defence up. And it's great to see that we've had we've only conceded a couple of goals in the last few weeks, and he has been part of that. Edwards, who the fuck's Edwards? Hughes. Right. Hughes. Random. Hughes, I think, has just been that sort of, mate, nothing's getting past me attitude, and it's great to see. Am I still right in thinking he's never been booked? Is that another stat that I've read somewhere? Or have I got that wrong?
Pure nonsense. The alleged stat was that Oscar Wallin had never been booked in the Swedish league, and in about three games he got booked at Bosch. Okay, there's no way that Sam Hughes has got his whole career without being booked. He's probably been booked for Bosch now.
That's not a fucking fool, but I've heard it. But anyway, so going back to him, I think it's been rock solid. Wallin was a little bit sort of not himself, but you know, done what he had to do. Overall, We have improved. The midfield, do you know what? I can't see. What? I'm nicking everybody's finger.
No, stop. I've just gone on to Sam Hughes. Sam Hughes got booked against Blackpool. You know, the game that we played on Tuesday.
2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago? 5 days ago?
Mate, I've slept since then. That's a long time ago. But anyway, moving on. Couple of things I want to bring up then before we go, and I'm sure you'll add, is our midfield has been a bit more solid. And I don't know how many more games it's going to be before Sissoko comes in from Collins, even though Collins was half decent the other day. But when Soso comes on, you know, Mohamed, when he comes on, I actually think he's been very fucking good. So we'll see what happens there. My last thing on Ricky, I do want to bring Ricky up, is fucking hell, he is so frustrating. Yeah, however you do it, like, it is so frustrating, right? If the cunt stays on his feet, we may actually, you know, win some fouls. He goes down so fucking soft and then starts crying when he don't get a free kick or a penalty. Stay on your feet, mate, stay on your feet. He needs to start getting some bookings for his fucking play acting, you know, because he's not the player he was start of the season. Whatever the reason is, whether there's a guaranteed sale for him in the summer, if there is, well, fair enough. If there isn't, he needs to fucking buck his ideas up and start putting in some performances. Otherwise, you know, he'll end up like a Madison with a bit of ability, not much, but a bit of ability, and not making a career of himself. So that's what I want to say.
Well, it's an interesting monologue to try and digest. I think, listen, I agree with you on the defence. I think James Dornelli did play very well yesterday and has been solid since he came back into the team. I guess the point that I'd sort of make is I just want sort of to bookend the chat about Ricky, because I feel like it is a pertinent time to be having it. And it's that I do sort of see where you're coming from, Ash, in terms of why don't we just try and get something on the table for him now? I don't think, you know, if you look at Sheffield United, which are allegedly the club that were in for him last summer, it feels like they're not going to be interested this summer, especially if they get promoted to the Prem. He was very, very poor when he came on. You know, everyone talks about the chance, but it wasn't just that. He was struggling to get really involved in link-up play, and there was that time where he got played in behind and he, you know, tried to round Will Norris and his touch was absolutely terrible. And then obviously he did that diving thing that Del was talking about, and there was a lot of space in behind Wickham yesterday and it didn't feel like he was exploiting it and using his sort of footballing brain anywhere near as much as he could have. He didn't allow himself to be that sort of outlet that we needed to relieve pressure upon ourselves. And yeah, there's no way to say other than that he had a massive negative impact on the game as well. Not just didn't make a positive one. I think you've been a bit harsh on the midfield though, Del. I think Collins and Kyprianou, Collins has had a couple of rough halves maybe, but in general, I think he's still performing at a decent level. I think Hector and Collins were actually very good yesterday. I think they ran the game. I spoke about the combined 11 before the game and got a bit of a flack for that. But I think, you know, our midfield was easily overrunning the Wickham midfield, especially in terms of like duels. I think Collins and Kyprianou won a lot more duels than the Wickham midfielders did. Kyprianou was very good in the air, Collins making tackles and intercepting. So yeah, I think the midfield was a lot better than you've given them credit for. And I think Sissoko is a very good luxury option off the bench and to rotate in and out. But I wouldn't be breaking up that midfield partnership yet at all.
I just really want to quickly defend myself there, Charlie. No point did I say that Collins was shit. I actually, if you heard me say, I said Collins actually had a very good game. But I actually think Sissoko is better than him at the moment. When he's coming on, he's actually, you could see the class above him. And that's all I'm saying. If we didn't have Sissoko, I'd be fucking well more than happy at the moment with our two midfield. No issues with it whatsoever. But we have a player that at the moment, I think, is potentially playing better than Collins, which is, you know, credit to Sissoko, Mohamed.
Yes, Mohamedou Sissoko was good when he came on. I agree, Del. I think we've mentioned almost everyone. I think I'm just going to add the left-hand side, Tayo and Oddo. Tayo, still such a good option going forward, to the point where you almost wonder whether he could one day be a left-winger. I know he's already 26, but he set up Ricky for that chance at the very end. Just absolutely perfect ball across. And I guess the only thing is that it was a game, I still gave him a decent rating, but it was a game where he wasn't quite as sharp defensively. He's not had a bad performance, I don't think, in a posh top. I'm not counting Exeter as a bad performance just because he gave away a pen. I think he's actually had a very consistent run in every game. But yesterday, he was a little bit looser defensively. He had the ball bounce over his head, which ended up being a Wickham chance in the first half. Kyprianou was furious with him for the goal, which he bit back at, indicating he didn't think it was his fault. Who knows? But fundamentally, it went into the area that the left back would normally cover. So it's one of those where you know what his strengths and weaknesses are. He played up to, in his own way, played up to both of them yesterday, I thought. Still justifies starting every match, in my opinion, because of how good he is going forward. And Oddo, I'm glad I didn't join on the bandwagon of calling him the worst player ever to play for Posh, or that Darren Ferguson should be sacked if he ever picks him again, as some of our fellow hosts did say previously. I said that he was dreadful against Bristol Rovers because he was. But you know what? He's come on plenty since then. I still think he needs to work on different elements of his game. Well, I'll focus on the positives. He set up the pass to Tayo for the chance at the very end. He was the one who reacted to Norris's error to then pass it off to Mother Seal. As I say, I would have liked to have seen him shot there, even if it was 30 yards out. So there are flickers, there are good moments in there, but he's got to keep improving at the rate that he has since Bristol Rovers to be part of a team that wants to challenge in League One, which hopefully we will next season. I think who else? I guess that just leaves us with the return of the hamstring broken prodigal son Kwame Poku.
Yeah, and what a vibe it was when Kwame Poku was warming up and then putting his match shirt on for the game. It felt like there was a massive relief around the stadium in terms of, right, we finally got this asset back that we've needed. Unfortunately, you know, the last 2-3 weeks we picked up points whereby it didn't feel like we needed Poku back. And before I sort of go on Poku, I would like to just sort of congratulate Kean Hayes, because when Poku snapped his hamstring against Crawley, it was like absolute doomsday. And Hayes has been really good for the 3 months that he stepped in. He's not always been the most consistent, but he's offered something different and something exciting to the team. However, I do now think that it's the time for the best player in League One. And I say that with chest. That is the best player in League One, not Richard Kone, not Jay Stansfield, who cries off over a bruise, but it's time for Kwame Poku to step up to the plate, drag us out of this relegation scrap, win us the Virtue Trophy at Wembley, and then swan off into the sunset, having done all of those things and ultimately becoming a fantastic signing from Colchester. I am very excited, because obviously there was that discussion about, oh, has he got the confidence in the bionic hamstring that he's got? There was signs on the pitch yesterday, although it wasn't one of Kwame Poku's best performances, there were signs that we know what he can offer to the team. And I am very excited for the rest of March and into April.
Yeah, and just to quickly add on Poku, I love the bloke, and that's the big thing, is that I'm so happy that he's back. I've been going on and on and on and on since he's done his hamstring, that once he gets back and finds his form, where he is going to drag us out this relegation battle. And I just think there's no better week, is there, with the derby at the weekend, for him to come back. And you saw little tiny glimpses of it during the game that he still got it. And I just have this amazing feeling that perchance that form that we saw before he did his hamstring could come back, and it could come back on one of, you know, on Derby Day, which would be absolutely amazing to witness. I'm so happy for him. We desperately needed him. And as I've talked about sort of this attacking lack of confidence that we've got, he genuinely was the best player in League One. And for him to come back, we will hopefully bring that attacking lack of confidence to an end.
Nice. All right. I think we're there on the Wickham game. It was interesting. I guess, Ashley, you commented on this, that it was interesting for it to be one of our inclusive days, but we didn't seem to remember that it was International Women's Day on the same day, and we didn't have any women's player in the club players in the club shop. It's a bit of an afterthought at the halftime show. It's kind of a little bit, you want to see if you're getting out of the route of trying to push the diversity and inclusion side of things, that it's a bit more congruous, right, with what's going on at the minute, especially on International Women's Day. Like, it's a bit of a free hit, right?
Yeah, it is. And that does sort of link quite nicely to where I went today. And I did head over to Six Fingers Stadium to watch Northampton women's team versus the Lincoln United women's team, as my boss sponsors one of the players there. And it just goes back to, I think, when we had that live with Ian Crawford, or it wasn't a live, we did a recording with Ian Crawford, and we asked the questions over why the women's team are not playing a single fixture in the London Road Stadium, and they're still over in Bourne. There was 800 people at Six Fields today, and I'm so confident that if there was a game at London Road, obviously I know that the women's team were away at Sutton Coldfield, I think it was today, so that wouldn't have worked, but there has to be a designated fixture each season where the women's team get to play at London Road. They get to play in front of 1,000, 1,500 people because, look, Northampton aren't one of the biggest teams, but today was a great experience. And yes, it's not the same football event. It's more like a Sidemen charity match with lots of kids just squealing every time the ball goes forwards. But you've still got to give these players that experience. If we want to say, yes, we respect our women's team as much as our men's team. And look, I've said before as well, I've got a daughter. I want to be able to let her watch people to see that pathway to go, right, actually, yeah, if I do like football, if Imogen does like football, that's where I can be. That's I can start playing football. I can go and play for Posh if she really wanted to, if she's good enough, of course. And it just seems like we're not doing everything that we can as a club to really promote the women's game. Like, obviously, before we started recording, Del, you said you're not going to travel up to Bourne. It's a slog. It's half an hour away from Peterborough. When you're south of anywhere of Peterborough, you're then adding on another 20, 30 minutes. Who's going to travel an hour to watch a women's football game at Bourne? Not that many people. So the crowds of 150 or 200 people are never really going to get the chance to grow. And I looked at the pitch because that's always been one of the things like that has been discussed. The Northampton and Lincoln women that went out on the pitch today didn't turn it up. They didn't scuff it up. It was a lovely day. And it's just, it feels like we need to make a change and we need to promote the women's team better because they are doing good things. The women's league is a bit of a shambles in that only one team gets promoted, but that's a whole different viewpoint. And I think they've gone away and they've won like 5 or 6 nil today, I think it was. I think that they need the exposure and I think that they deserve it.
I'm also on that, Ash. I quite like watching women's football. I've been to some of the big games in Wembley, fucking Tottenham, Chelsea, whatever. And they get some really, really good following. And as a club, we've said we want to try and push the women's. We've got this, we're advertised. Even when we do the goal of the fucking month, it's got to be the, you know, all the different teams involved, including the women and the kids. But when it comes to sort of really supporting them, do we really? I'm not sure we do. And as you say, why can't we play at London Road? If we played the odd game at London Road or even closer, I'd happily go, you know, and I would actively look at the results to go. Not what it's at Bourne, bollocks to that. It's too far and I'm not going to do it. But, you know, I just, and if they say about the size of the pitch, that's not the size of the pitch, the condition of the pitch, well, it's bullshit as well. We're hiring the pitch out at the end of the season. I don't think this is a season where we're going to be relaying the pitch. So, you know, is that going to make much difference? And especially now in this type of weather coming out, is it really going to fuck the pitch up that much? I don't think it will. During the winter, autumn, yeah, I get that, where it's soggy, boggy, whatever. Understand that fully, totally understand it. Now, there's no reason why we can't have a women's game there. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see how many people did turn up, because I bet you a pound of pinch of shit, it would be around 800, you know, 800, probably a bit more, because it's something new. You know, something new for the supporters of Peterborough. So many ain't going to go to Bourne.
Yeah, just to sort of run off the back of that. Obviously, being over in Derby University, I've worked with women's teams for almost 2 years now. I'm on a placement with Derby County, and I've worked with Chesterfield Women. And everything down to the media coverage, to playing a ground, to the coach travel, everything makes it such an inclusive experience to work in women's football. But also as a match going fan, of people that go always say how good the match day experience is over at Mickleover, where Derby Women play. And I just think there's such a better way to promote the women's team. And obviously, Nottingham Forest are in Derby County's league, so once a season we play them at Pride Park and we go to the City Ground to see them. But lots of women's teams are moving in this direction. I know that Stoke City play at the Bet365 quite a lot. Burnley play at Turf Moor, and obviously Nottingham Forest, they play at the City Ground all the time. So these bigger clubs are doing it. I don't see why we couldn't. An excellent point was made in the chat just a second ago that the under-18s, the under-21s play there with no fans at the stadium. I don't see why we couldn't do a game or two for the women and allow that to sort of progress. But you know, I think the coverage all the way down to the coverage, like just to make it like an experience, and that's what it should be. It should be an experience, just like going to the men's game is an experience. It should be completely the same, because that inclusive element that you get from going to the women's football should be the same as the men's game. And I think that's something that's really important and resonates with me as well, especially with my experiences working in women's football. I've had such an amazing time doing it. And I really hope that there is a way in the future, you know, or even as soon as the end of this season, where the women can get down to London Road and play in front of 800, 900, even 1,000 of us, or even more. You know, there's no limit to how many will turn up. But when that does happen, I really do feel like we should make that day special. But not only that, we should start to make it a norm. There's plenty of games during the season, as Del says, when the weather's nicer, when they can come and play. I don't see why it shouldn't be allowed, or I don't know whether necessarily it isn't allowed, but it definitely should be a thing that we look into. And again, it's all about that inclusive feeling that football is. And I feel like maybe we aren't doing enough to make sure that the women's game is as inclusive as it can be.
Yeah, I think you're right. And Charlie's just popped in the chat that both London Road women's games have got 2,000 plus crowds. I would love to see that again. And like Del mentioned, talking about the disabled supporters, I was fortunate enough to attend the Disability Supporters Association meeting this week. I went with Scotty, and there was lots of other people there that I didn't even know were Posh fans. I don't want this to turn into a Peterborough United club bashing exercise, because it was good that they were listening and it was good that they were open. But I must admit that from sitting in that meeting, I am concerned about the experience that we're giving to people with disabilities, people with hidden disabilities. And ultimately, you know, it's a massive topic, because I said when I was there is that I said to Scotty is that every fan that walks through or moves through the turnstile should be given the same experience. And at the moment they're not. And quite frankly, that isn't good enough from the side of the football club. And it's definitely something that needs to be improved on. I'm hoping that I can get along to the next meeting, which I think will be in June, July. But it was concerning to hear that there's nearly 300 issues with the football ground that need to be rectified. Because ultimately we know that we're on a tight budget. And not that money should be the excuse, but ultimately, if the money's not there, then these improvements can't be made. Even as simple as, and we will flog this until it's a dead horse, the best viewing part of the stadium for the disabled fans is the GH display, and it is closed for 50% of home games. The sooner that we get the GH open permanently, we get season ticket holders in there. I think it's 6 disabled bays in there. That is 6 disabled fans that have an improved experience at the football club. But all being said, Helen Meadows and Martin, I didn't catch his surname, they're listening. So it's a step in the right direction, but I don't think that it's going to be as urgent as it needs to be to really make an impact. Sort of now, ultimately, is that these 300 things shouldn't be waiting. Lots of them should be now and should be sorted relatively quickly.
Thanks for raising that all, guys. Next up, Peterborough United play our biggest rivals, according to some. I'd say our biggest rivals, according to most these days. Cambridge United away at the Abbey Stadium. We squeaked out of there, I think, with a 1-0 last season. And the season before that, it was an absolutely devastating 2-0 loss. I'm excited to be in the Terrace. I'm not going to lie. I hated that stand that we were in before. And I think it's going to be great being absolutely rammed into that corner. Hopefully it'll add to the atmosphere. And we get out of there with another win after the 6-1 pasting. I want to hear from all of you, really, because I think we're all going, aren't we? Who wants to talk about this first? Charlie?
Yeah, I'll go first. I mean, I am absolutely buzzing for Saturday for a number of reasons. I think it's probably our biggest away game of the season. It always is. Cambridge just means a lot. Obviously, my 18th birthday is on Saturday as well, so a decent away game to celebrate your 18th on. Yeah, it's going to be going to be a fantastic day. And let's just hope that on the pitch we can make up for it. I think I agree with you, Harry, actually. Being on the side is going to be so much more lively, I think. That stand and the way they filled it as well, that stand, when they made us like sit like in like little blocks and then opened it up so nobody could actually be where they wanted to be. It was terrible. And I think the terrace will add a better atmosphere. I saw some clips of the Stevenage fans in there. I think it was Tuesday night and they looked like they were having a fantastic time. In terms of the game, I think Cambridge fans have resigned themselves to relegation now. That little bounce that they got from Neil Harris coming back is very much gone. I think, you know, my Cambridge supporting family members have given up. And also I watched a vlog from somebody who was in the away end yesterday at Wigan with Cambridge, and it, you know, his vlog was titled "We Are Relegated," and I think they feel that they are now 10 points adrift and can't see where the next win's coming from. And I just really hope we don't give them that glimmer of hope on Saturday, because their only real motivation now will be to try and drag us down with them. I don't think that they feel they're going to stay up, and I do think they're good enough to stay up. And I think if we play anywhere near the level we played yesterday, or even at Blackpool, certainly if we reach the levels of, you know, Wrexham and Huddersfield, we will go there and give them an absolute pasting.
You know, I'm not sure about the pasting, and I couldn't even give a fuck how well we play or how bad we play, provided we win. You know, none of us like Cambridge, fucking dirty little bastards. They're going to be sort of hurting still from the 6-1 win that we give them. We just need to go out there with our most physically strongest team and just do what we do best. Not sure what that is, but we just need to go out there and beat them. So potentially bring Manny back in. Fucking Hughes does what he has to do. I'd be happy to keep Donnelly at the back. Eden would do what he needs to do. Brad's got to stay up the front without a shadow of doubt, because Ricky's too soft. Midfield, whether we stick to Charlie fucking Collins and fucking El Kipriano, or we drop one of them for Sissoko, I don't really mind. But overall, couldn't give a fuck how well we play. Let's just win. And then after that, you know, Cambridge can get relegated and they can fuck off and go and do their little fucking documentary they're going to be doing, you know, fucking twats. But anyway, up the fucking posh. Can't wait. Fuck scum.
How do you follow that? Well, I'll tell you how you follow that. I mentioned the best player in League One. I think he's going to have a field day again on Saturday. Obviously, it was a hat-trick the last time that he came up against Cambridge. I don't know who plays left-back. Is it Danny Andrews still? Prepared to be cooked by Kwame Poku. Fingers crossed that this electric form that Abraham Odo has found himself in recently as well is great, because if there's one player I love looking like an absolute donkey, it's Liam Bennett. The bloke is a fool. Anybody that thinks that he's going to be a successful right back is having a laugh. I'm going to go in with blind confidence this week. I think that we're showing all the right things. And it felt like, if I think back to November when we played them last, it felt similar. Like, they had a couple of good results. They were in a good run of form. And they were just like so up for it. And then all of a sudden they got cooked, let's say. And I'm hoping that the shabby is going to see. Look, the games haven't been the best there, have they, recently? I think that we lost 2-0 and then we won 1-0. So let's go there. Let's score loads of goals and let's just enjoy being Peterborough United.
A lot of things have sort of gone our way recently, which are, look, our form sort of turned itself over. We've got Poku back. There seems to be a lot of things to be excited about. And obviously the derby is one of them. It's always an exciting day. And look, for the past 2 years at home anyway, we've beat them 5-1 and 6-1. And then as we've said here, going to their place hasn't always been the easiest, but 1-0 last season will do us. And we've got to go there with the same sort of confidence that we won there last year. And we've got to put this sort of rocky form prior to this run behind us and just think, look, we can go and do what we did to them when we beat them 6-1 in our yard. And hope for that. I think our defence has got better than when we played them, and our attack hasn't necessarily changed. Obviously, we've lost Randall, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. So I think going into sort of this game, exactly what everybody else has said, just play with confidence and just don't lose. It's all I give a crap about. It's just not losing, please, because that would be a nightmare. And it's not a nightmare that I want to live in. So look, just go there, play football and win. And you will get no complaints from me. 10 out of 10s across the board, even if it's a 1-0 slugfest.
Yeah, which it was last year, right? It was the most turgid 1-0 you could ever have imagined. This is going to be different, I think, in part for one reason, that last time it was one of Randall's best games, the 6-1, right? We played through him. It was very, very good. And now we are going to be playing a different system. We just have to make sure that system works again, as it has, you know, going forward, it has worked. Finishing so far has not worked in the last few games. So we need to make sure we finish the chances on Saturday. Motherseal, he had a couple of golden chances in that 1-0 and he missed them. Let's make sure. I want to see Motherseal on the score sheet on Saturday. This is his chance to step up big time, cementing himself slowly as a player who we could really look back on as an amazing posh talisman, the likes of Lee Tomlin and others. You know, he is getting there, and a goal against Cambridge away is a way to absolutely cement that. I am going to go to predictions. Ashley, give me yours.
Oh, well, sports fans, Poku's getting a hat trick. Brad's getting two. Malik's getting two. And Fernandez is scoring. It's going to be 8-1. We will concede. Let's not be funny. We're going to score 8 goals on Saturday. It's going to be an absolute rampage. In fact, actually, no, it's not going to be 8-1. It's going to be 8-2. I will give Cambridge 2 goals, but we are going to go on an absolute rampage. And the absolute bubble up of not scoring goals is just going to splurge all over Cambridge. And Peterborough United are going to be back in Cambridgeshire. Will be blue forevermore after those shitheads get relegated.
I am not going that confidently. I think it's going to be tough. Because it's away at Cambridge and we lost 2-0 only 2 years ago with a much better team, and you just never know on Derby Day. That being said, I am more than happy to predict a 2-1 win. And Malik to score. Definitely Malik to score.
Fucking hell, Ash. You're taking a piss in, yeah? What do you mean we're going to concede? We ain't going to concede. But I don't think we're going to score 8. So I'm going to go 5-0. Zilch, 0. I'd be surprised if the fuckers even have a fucking shot on target. I hate them. So 5-0. I don't even know who's going to score. I don't care. Could be fucking own goals for all I care. 5-0 to the mighty Posh.
Yeah, look, I hate them as well, but I can't say that my confidence levels are at 8-2 and 5-0. I am going to go with another 1-0 slugfest. And I know it's the boring one, it's the boring prediction, yeah, but look, I always get nervous, like I just don't like it, and I think that's affected my prediction. So I'm going to go with a 1-0 win, and a clean sheet at Cambridge Stadium, considering how much we've struggled defensively this season. I'm sorry, I'd be buzzing with that. So I'm going to go 1-0 and not a pretty watch.
Oh, I'm so much more confident than you, Max. I'm not quite at Ash's level, or Dell's level, let's say, but I think it's going to be a very easy 3-1 Posh. Listen, Cambridge have got a centre-back pairing of Michael Morrison and Kellen Watts. You remember Kel Watts? You know, legs made of glass, came on loan to us for a bit. They've got him at the back. Morrison's going to get sent off. I am so confident of it. You know, I remember when we had Ian on and he told us about Morrison's little halftime antics of trying to choke slam JD against the wall in the tunnel. He is going to be so rattled as soon as Ricky J. Jones starts whispering in his ear and being weird like he usually does. Michael Morrison is not going to be able to cope with it. He'll get sent off. It will be a very easy game for Posh. Yeah, I think it's going to be 3-1. I just don't see us losing, and I just see us sending Cambridge down to League Two, where they belong, and just giving them one final kicking on the way down. Fantastic.
I think Max has just reliably informed us that last time Charlie predicted 3-1 was the Bristol Rovers game. So let's hope you do a little bit better with this one, Charlie. Right. Thank you all. We're there. Thank you all for listening. Please, if you're on YouTube, like and subscribe, comment. And as well, we want to hear from Wickham fans. What did you think of the game? And yeah, that's it. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast.
Can we also just discuss how the fuck Harry has managed to glaze Joel Randall in this episode? Like, what is that all about? Fuck.
Even I said that it wasn't a bad thing that we'd lost him, by the way. Even me.